Morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Kaki.
So we thought this morning we would have a short conversation around the topic, which is affecting lots of people, known as emotionally based school avoidance. And we thought we'd have a conversation using some of the reflections and insights from a relationship health approach to addressing this issue. So this topic comes up a lot, doesn't it, when we have referrals. People approach us with questions around children who are really struggling to attend school, finding the school environment very stressful, and developing a pattern of non-attendance, and families are a bit of a loss to know what to do, and schools are a bit of a loss to know what to do. Certainly there, we don't think there's any easy answers because these environments are complicated. These environments are complicated. However, I do think an understanding of eye matter and relationship health can really give us some guidance and ideas about the key way forward, which really helps me when I'm sort of working with families to think about what's happening. What's your
Yeah,
experience, Jack?
it's a massive issue. I think every other consultation I have involves this kind of narrative,
Wow,
and when I speak to the schools, they're putting so many adjustments in. And there's one school particularly who just asked them to just come to the car park, not actually come into the school. And I just think there's an unhelpful message in that, where there's I do acknowledge that the school environment is really chaotic, really busy, and it's overwhelming and far too stimulating. So for some, it's a really difficult transition, especially to make from primary to secondary. So I'm not disputing the fact that it's difficult, but I do think that we need to shift the way we think about it and manage it, because it's so common now.
it's so common, isn't it? I mean, so I like to bring it back to some of the basic understanding about the process that a child is on in terms of maturing. So they start off as a baby, totally merged with the mother, from pregnancy. So they're totally merged, and then they're on a journey which is towards separation, really, from mother and from family, towards entering into being able to join and take part in the wider world. So that we think of it as a process of going away from the core attachment figures with core adults, going away from them, coming back, and in doing that in small steps, isn't it? They go away and do something small, and then they come back. And then so when I'm thinking about emotion-based school avoidance, I'm thinking that there's something about that process of going away into a challenging situation and coming back that we have to kind of work with in order to build up the child's confidence that they can manage at a distance away from the adult and back, and that the adult can manage knowing how to support the child with the experience of going away and coming back. And sometimes it seems to me that the very simple thing that's not working is that there's lack of understanding, if you like, that that's what the process is, that we're our us as an adult is there to help the child start to engage with progressively more demanding situations, and the child knowing that it is quite tricky, this thing, but actually there's a lot of benefits from being able to manage slightly more complex environments. So taking a step-by-step process is really important, but the thing that has to be managed is what you're feeling inside in relation to this complex thing, and actually learning to manage feeling a bit uncomfortable inside in relation to what's happening outside is a really core skill that's core to confidence and, becoming a confident adult.
And that process, the internal process, is difficult for the parent and for the child.
Yes.
And as you talk, and I'm thinking that people recognize that process, the attachment process, going away, coming back again, as a baby, and then as they get older, because they've been out in the world and they've been just fine, then they don't recognize that same process
Yeah, for an
can
older child.
begin again at a different transition stage, or when there's the difficulties or the demands outstrip the resource in a way that they've never had to manage before. And what saddens me is the narrative that then develops around that, that gives a message to the child and the adult even that there's something wrong with the child, and therefore we've got to reconfigure the world, the environment around them, in order to accommodate them because they can't manage. I would add yet.
Yes, is really important, and also this thing about adults who are very protective, understandably, of children who have had a lot. This generation has had a lot of unexpected things that have interrupted the gradual process of separation. It's been a bit brutal at times. Now we've all got to stay at home. Now we've got to go out again.
Very
It's been
brutal
very
and
brutal,
scary.
very scary. But the skill actually that the it requires more advanced skills than in the adults to understand, as you said, they understand their own feelings about what happens when they're seeing a child who's distressed and uncomfortable, and then also how to support the child with their feelings, which is often about certain ways that we use words, really, and the tone that we use you share our words, and how we talk about what the experience of trying something new is. So there's a lot of skills involved in supporting that separation process when it's got interrupted.
And it's a very time-consuming process. And a lot of the parents I've met with, they've got to get off to work. They haven't got time. So it's really difficult to, and then they'll do a quick fix thing and okay, stay at home today then. But then that sets up a pattern whereby they get stuck in that pattern where they have to get to work, or the child escalated to such a degree that they're both stressed about it and they're both upset. And it's breaking that relational pattern and refocusing on what it is, the process that you're trying to manage and navigate, that is the key, I think, to
I think you're right.
managing.
When the adult themselves is frazzled by the fact that they've got lots of other things to do, then it's more difficult for them to tune into what the child might be actually needing from them. We think about the child's going out to a stressful experience and then is coming back and is often needing some time to kind of, we call it rest in the adult's presence, just refuel, refuel, feel understood that it was difficult, but you've managed it. And if the adult is frustrated and irritated, then that sometimes that recovery process doesn't happen in the home environment. Or the adult's anxious. The adult's anxious about what they're gonna, what the implications are if the child's not going off to school. But because this child is often very sensitive to feeling they're not managing in the school, but also feeling that they're causing stress for the adult, then this can be quite a toxic little dynamic that plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm
Yeah, and I
thinking
think.
it can also the parent can feel out of the depth, understandably so, because often when the children are in this state of distress, they can turn to really unhelpful, as in I'm talking about self-harm, that kind of behaviour, which can often frighten the parent. So that gets them to back off too.
And the other
It's
thing
a
I'm
difficult
thinking,
process to navigate.
the other thing is that when you're out in the big wide world, we sometimes call it the wild woods, don't we, in my matter, that when you're out in the big wide world in that wild woods, there is a lot coming at you. And sometimes then when you go back home, what happens is that the rest and recovery is actually, instead of it being with another person that you're talking with, the rest and recovery comes with a tech, piece of tech. Now, a tech is comforting, it's soothing, it allows your arousal levels to settle. But what it doesn't give you is time to process your experience of what it was like and what you learned and who you noticed and what you took part in and what you thought about. And all of those conversations about the experience that you had when you went out are part of what builds that child's internal resources. So there's a real I think that think tech doesn't play a neutral role in this. It can be comforting, it can be soothing, but it could be almost too soothing and too comforting because it doesn't allow enough space for processing of some of this difficult emotion. It allows it just to be sort of put aside and not thought about.
Yeah, it's a useful distraction. And the other thing I was thinking as you're talking is the oh God, it's gone out of my head now. Oh, it was a really good point. I know, the process of whereby they hold it together just about in school and come home and they kick off and
I'm not going back again to that. That was
Yeah,
horrible.
The narrative then is that they're masking at school and they come home and they let it all out at home. And what I hear is that the relational pattern and the dynamics are shifting, whereby they're allowing them to behave in a particular way because they're distressed, and that sets up a whole other relational pattern where the parent child hierarchy starts to flip.
Through because the parent is protective, understandably, of the child and knows that it's been a difficult experience, but sometimes kind of can get caught up in a place where they're allowing the child's distress to overwhelm the health of their own relationship with the child. So the child is sort of calling the shots and saying, you don't understand, you don't get me. And actually we want the adult to be strong enough to be saying, I know it's been some of it's been difficult, but you have managed it. Well done, and we can think about it. But it's, even if you've had a difficult day, it's not okay to treat me that way, because we want that sense of the child for this process of becoming an adult has to learn how to be able to think about their own thoughts when they're out in the world woods. I'm thinking what I'm thinking, I'm thinking what my mum might think, or I'm thinking what so and so I talked to about might be thinking. There's an internal relationship going on when we're out in the big wide world. And for a relationship help, we need to be able to discuss that, but in a healthy way. Just talk about what it felt like, and as long as we allow distress to kind of overwhelm the conversations, then we can't progress. We can't progress the development of that internal thinking. So it might look like we're being kind because we're backing off and not wanting to kind of, we often hear that stop it kicking off again, that expression, but it doesn't actually help the child develop this ability to think about what's happening, which they're going to need to manage a more complex world.
And it doesn't help the relationship neither.
No,
And
anymore.
they have had it tough with COVID and everything. And a lot of them have not been exposed to some of the developmental experience that would help them to navigate these difficulties. But that's where we're at. We can't change that.
So I was told when we did a podcast, we should do a little pitch at the end. So if anybody wants to learn a little bit more about the iMatter framework and how these ideas can help you, develop your understanding about how to help your children, then have a look on the website and we'd love to encourage you to learn more. How does that sound,
They would, yes. Yeah.
Jack? Okay. Look out for our next recording. Thanks very much.
Bye.